The reality is, those who are seeking the Lord, hoping, trusting for a spouse, the spouse is not going to fly through your window. The reality is, God places people in certain situations, and when you are following the Lord, trusting Him where you should be, in the body of Christ, around other believers, then trust Him to bring someone in His time.
Thanks for joining us for this midweek edition of Equipping the Saints, featuring the Bible teaching of Greg Lundstedt, pastor of Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina. Greg, our current study in Genesis is about Abraham securing a bride for his son Isaac. But there's a broader principle than selecting a wife being taught here.
You know, that's right, Dave, and we're going to see that unfold as Abraham sends his servant to find a bride for Isaac. Now, we're going to open today with some context from 2 Corinthians, then we'll pick up our study in Genesis chapter 24, verse 4. So let's turn there.
Well, thanks, Greg. And as always, if you have to miss a portion of today's broadcast, you can hear this entire program online at etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. Now, let's join Greg for today's message.
2 Corinthians, we have concerning disassociating with false teachers. So you see, the Corinthians were yoking themselves with them. But there's some principles there. We're not to be unequally yoked. We have nothing in common with unbelievers. And certainly, secondarily, that applies to marriage. If you willingly disobey the Lord and marry someone who is a non-believer, and maybe they even say they're believers, but their lives exhibit nothing and you know it, you're either going to be pulled away from the Lord, or when you draw close to the Lord, you're going to be miserable because you have nothing in common. Now, sometimes this happens because someone comes to faith and God is gracious and He has commanded. What do? You stay in that relationship and you are to ultimately be a godly spouse, hopefully that they would be saved. But if they leave, let them leave. 1 Corinthians 7. But yet there are situations where believers make horrible mistakes. And even though sometimes God is gracious in the consequences, we can't use those events to justify doing what is wrong, where God says you're going to suffer the wages for the sins that you've committed. You see, we are not to be yoked with unbelievers. And when you're following Christ, if you truly are, everything is about Christ. And if you have an unbelieving spouse, everything about them is not about Christ. Now, be encouraged if you are in a relationship and you have failed, that God will forgive you. And be godly and pray that if it perhaps God might save your spouse. And if you were called unto Christ while in the midst of an unbelieving relationship, God decided to call you in that manner. Trust Him, walk with Him, and pray for your spouse. So here, Abraham is adamant. He is a godly father. And fathers, you need to be adamant concerning your believing children and the decisions they make, which are serious. Abraham is adamant. He's a godly father. And those of you who are not married, who have believing parents following the Lord, listen to them. Listen to their advice. If they're godly, they're not going to dictate to you what to do, but they're going to give you godly principles and advice. And when you are off track, they're going to expose that and exhort you in that. Abraham is adamant. He doesn't want him to have a daughter from the Canaanites. But you shall go to my country, verse 4, and to my relatives and take a wife for my son Isaac. Now, he clearly understands God is going to give them the land, but he understands where he has come from. Now, Abraham's planning did not contradict God's word, by the way. He's planning. And that's another principle. As we walk with the Lord, we plan according to His word. And notice, the servant gives an interesting question in verse 5. And the servant said to him, suppose the woman will not be willing to follow me to this land. What if she doesn't want to come to Canaan? What if she wants to stay in Mesopotamia? What do I do? Should I take your son back to the land from where you came? Should I take him to be with her there? And what does Abraham say? He says, beware, warning, lest you take my son back there. Why? Verse 7, the Lord, the God of heaven, who took me from my father's house and from the land of my birth, who spoke to me and swore to me, saying, to your descendants I will give this land. Abraham is resting on the promises of God as principles within the decisions that he is making. His decisions are not contradicting God's truth that he has declared. You say, no way, don't send him over there if she doesn't want to go. And notice what he says, end of verse 7. He will send, speaking of the Lord God, his angel before you. He's going to prepare the way, and you will take a wife for my son from there. Now, you think it's a done deal that the servant's just going to go ahead and say, hey, it's a done deal. I got it made. I'm going to go take care of my master's stuff. That's not the case. We're going to see very clearly that Abraham's servant is not presumptive upon the will of God. That even though Abraham has said, hey, it's going to happen here, at least it seems, God's going to go before you, both of them, as we will see, are not presumptive. So with that in mind, God has revealed to Abraham that Isaac, through his seed, he's going to inherit this land. And so Abraham is trusting the Lord and expecting his guidance according to his will. So we have here in verse 8, but if the woman is not willing to follow you, then you are free from this oath. Only do not take my son back there. If she doesn't want to come here, okay, that's a possibility. He's not pigeonholing God in this circumstance. He trusts the Lord to bring forth his will, but he is not pigeonholing him in the circumstances. If she's unwilling, don't take my son there. That's faith. He doesn't want to pull his son out of the land of promise. Abraham was functioning based on the truth of God, yet he didn't presume the details of how God would bring it about. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5, trust the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. Proverbs 16:9, it's on your bulletins. The mind of man plans his way. Obviously in the context of trusting the Lord, by the way. Plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. We're going to learn a lot that even though God's will in a general sense may be clear, we need to be very careful as we step forward in the context of trusting him. And Abraham and his servant are wonderful examples of that. So first of all, how do we find God's guidance in the midst of every decision, including those ones that are not clear? If you're not obeying the Lord, focused on him, completely devoted to him, forget it. Bottom line, if you're not walking with Christ, forget it. You see, God doesn't hear the prayers of the unrighteous, and he doesn't hear the prayers of those who are in sin. Proverbs 28, verse 9, he turns his ear away from listening to the law. Even his prayer is an abomination. You turn your heart away from the word, even your prayer is an abomination. Proverbs 15:29, the Lord is far from the wicked, but he hears the prayers of the righteous. It's only when we are walking with the Lord by faith that you can know and trust the Lord will guide you, but not presumptively. I find at times Christians understand the first part. They trust the Lord to guide them, but then they've already placed in front of that what the Lord is supposed to do for them. Abraham doesn't do that. And his servant doesn't do that either. They make plans, but they trust the Lord in the midst of their plans. Now, on a side note, for those of you who desire to be married, seek the Lord. Seek his kingdom. Seek his righteousness. Follow the Lord. Don't seek a spouse. Seek the Lord. Trust him. But yet understand some practical things. Abraham understood in Canaan there were no godly women, so he didn't have his servant go there. He had him go to the household, which assumedly had those who feared the Lord. We're going to see later on that there are some practical things we do as we trust the Lord, yet we don't lean on our own understanding. And I would say, don't look for your spouse in Canaan. Don't look for your spouse in the world. There are plenty and plenty of good-looking young men and women around, very available. They're all over the place. Don't do that. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. Yet there's nothing wrong in the context of righteousness taking some practical steps, as we see. What do I mean by that? First of all, don't obviously look for a spouse in Canaan. Seek the Lord. But as you're seeking the Lord, you should be around those who are following the Lord and trusting the Lord. You don't ever want to get into a relationship with anyone who is not wholeheartedly devoted to Christ. We're going to see later on there's nothing wrong with physical attraction, but if that's the basis of the relationship, there's something very wrong with that. And also we see in Scripture that God has given some a gift not to be married. It's a gift to be wholeheartedly devoted to the Lord. If you are in a state of singleness, trust the Lord. Serve Him. Be wholeheartedly devoted to Him and let Him bring forth. But it doesn't mean you can't have your eyes open in the midst of those who are godly as you trust the Lord. So trust the Lord. And one caveat about godly men and women in good churches, there's a lot of fakers out there. You need to be with those, if the Lord is drawing you, with those who are trusting Christ. Abraham said, no way to Canaan. Take him to my household, my family, where they are, where I believe we'll see in context. He knew they were fearing the Lord. Okay, so how are we to seek God's guidance, especially when Scripture is silent about the specifics? We must have an unshakable commitment to obeying Christ in every area of our lives. Yes, we fail, we trip up, but we are walking with the Lord. If that's not happening, forget seeking God's guidance. It's not going to happen. And then secondly, we must step out in obedience with wisdom, seeking and trusting the Lord to prepare the way. Look at verse 10. Then the servant took 10 camels from the camels of his master, and he set out with a variety of good things, verse 10 of chapter 24, of his master's in his hand, and he arose and went to Mesopotamia, to the city of Nahor. Later on, we're going to see that Abraham's servant had some other servants with him too. It doesn't say it here, but he did. There's more than just him and the 10 camels. Now here, we see that he is not trusting the Lord by testing him. And what do I mean by that? Sometimes people trust the Lord by testing the Lord, at least they think. This servant is not presuming upon him. He actually takes a variety of good things from his master's hand. What does that mean there? Why is that spoken? Well, later on, we're going to see this servant wisely, even within the culture, appropriately brought jewelry and riches, that which he would give to the potential bride and the bride's family. He is not presuming, and he's not testing the Lord that, okay, I'm going to trust him, and then he'll just do whatever I need. He's taking practical steps in the context of trusting the Lord. And I find sometimes we can be so pious in our attitudes and not take those practical steps in context of trusting the Lord in the midst of decisions that need to be made. So he took a variety of good things. So don't test the Lord. This servant didn't do it. So with that in mind, Abraham's servant trusted the Lord. And as we're going to see, he planned. He arose and he went on a very long and difficult journey. 500 miles, by the way. This was not an easy journey. And what he was going to request of the bride was to come back 500 miles. And there was the real possibility that the bride might say, no, I don't want to go back. And Abraham had made it clear, then do not take my son Isaac there. So with this in mind, we need to recognize that first and foremost, we need to be wholly devoted to the Lord. But then we need to step out in obedience. Look at what happens when the servant arrives in Mesopotamia. Verse 11. And he made the camels kneel down outside the city by the well of water at evening time, the time when the women go out to draw water. That's very interesting. This servant is using practical wisdom in the context of trusting the Lord. He's going to the well at the time the women come out. The reality is, those who are seeking the Lord, hoping, trusting for a spouse, the spouse is not going to fly through your window. The reality is God places people in certain situations, and when you are following the Lord, trusting Him where you should be, in the body of Christ around other believers, then trust Him to bring someone in His time. Because we're going to see no one had come to Rebecca, and all of a sudden one day it happened. God was gracious in His time, in His way. Seek the Lord. So here, he came at that time. He's fully trusting the Lord, but yet he's seeking His guidance. And look at this. This is amazing. Verse 12, and he said, O Lord, the God of my master Abraham, please grant me success today and show loving kindness to my master Abraham. This is a good servant. His heart is for his master's well-being in the context of trusting Christ. This is a good servant. He's asking that the Lord would grant success. He's not presuming. He's asking that he would grant success. And notice what he says in the rest of his prayer. Behold, I am standing by the spring. He's talking with the Lord. He's walking with the Lord. And the daughters of men of the city are coming out to water. He has wisely, yet not presumptively, positioned himself in a place where the godly young woman who feared the Lord, because it was the city of Nahor, Abraham's brother, those who technically were God-fearers, were coming out. And notice what happens, he says in the rest of his prayer, verse 14. Now may it be that the girl to whom I say, please let down your jar so that I may drink, and who answers, drink, and I will water your camels also. May she be the one whom thou hast appointed for thy servant Isaac. And by this I shall know that thou hast shown loving kindness to my master. Now at this point you're going, uh-oh, sounds like a Gideon fleece to me, right? It's a deal. Do this, God, so that this will happen here. I don't think that's the case here. I don't think it's the case at all. You see, Gideon had God's clear, revealed will, and he doubted. And he wanted assurance within God's clear will. This is not the case here. This servant is not presuming. There is not a direct statement for this servant that this woman will be it. So he is simply, in the context of prayer, asking for God some way, circumstantially, that he will know what God's will is in this direct, specific situation. He's simply praying that God would provide a way for him to know if his prayer has been answered. Now, I think there's wisdom in this request, and I think you're probably saying, what is that? Well, first of all, the idea of a girl who would come out and give him some water, but then water his camels, would be very far from someone who is selfish. You see, someone who is unselfish would be willing to water someone's camels. That's about 20 gallons per camel. It took a long time for that to happen. It would have to be someone with a different heart, a servant's heart, who would do this. So I think there's some wisdom in his prayer. It's not presumptuous. He's planning his way, but the Lord is directing his step. And he is willing, even after Rebekah responds, he hasn't made it clear this is the one. He's waiting till God affirms it with an answer. He is not presumptive. The mind of man plans his way, but God directs his steps. This servant, we'll see in verse 27 and verse 48, he praises the Lord for his guidance. He guided me. He guided me all the way. He guided me. When you're obeying the Lord, relying on him, moment by moment, the Lord will guide you. Not to what you think he wants, but what he desires for you, whether it's something or not. God is faithful. When we're walking with Christ, and we're going to be dependent, as we'll see, the servant's just trusting the Lord. He's praying as he's walking with the Lord. We need to make wise, yet not presumptive plans in the context of trusting Christ. The mind of man plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. Even though he's shared this portion here, he's not going to say, aha, because it happened, I know for sure it's God's will. He's saying, Lord, just help me see some way that I will understand and know that this is your will. So how do we seek God's guidance, especially when Scripture is silent? We have to be committed to the Lord and his ways. We need to be committed to him. And we must step out in obedience. Abraham's servant, in context of Abraham's commands, was obedient. Abraham was obedient because he wanted him to have a godly wife in the context of the promise. The servant was obedient because he obeyed Abraham right away. And we must trust the Lord to guide us in every way. And third, and I think more importantly, not than the first, but than last, we must be in constant, humble fellowship with the Lord, which really will be exemplified by dependent prayer in the context of everything we do. Look at this again, verse 12, it's beautiful. And he said, O Lord, the God of my master Abraham, please grant me success today and show loving kindness to my master Abraham. He's a good servant. Behold, I am standing by the spring, and the daughters of the men are coming out to draw water. I'm right here in the midst of where I think you want me to be. Now may it be that the girl whom I say, please let down your jar so that I may drink, and who answers, drink, and I will water your camels also. May this be the one whom thou hast appointed for thy servant Isaac. He's not presuming. He's saying, may it be. It's not a fleece. Then he says, and by this I shall know that thou hast shown loving kindness to my master. Abraham's servant was a man of God. He trusted the Lord, and that is evidenced by his dependent prayer. If you want to know if you're walking with the Lord, are you praying? in every situation all day long. Now, not perfectly. We forget. But as believers, we walk with the Lord. It's as though He is with us. And He is. And we're continually talking with Him and bringing these things before Him and trusting Him in the midst of every decision. That's all we need to do. That's what this servant does. If you don't find yourself day by day, most of the time, talking to the Lord as you go throughout your day, I would encourage you to examine yourself to see if you know the Lord at all. You know, there are no non-following followers of Jesus. When we follow Jesus, we walk with Him. Not perfectly, but we walk with Him. You see, if you're trusting in yourself and you're relying on yourself, not depending on the Lord, then you are not humble. If you're not seeking Him in every situation, I would encourage you to examine yourself. Do you know the Lord? If you do, sin has hardened your heart. You've been pulled away from Him. Confess and walk with the Lord. He's good. He's a gracious God. He's kind. He's merciful. This servant is walking with the Lord. How is your daily prayer life? Abraham's servant exhibited a real relationship with the living God. How do we seek God's guidance? We need to be committed to the Lord and His ways. We need to step out in obedience, planning our way but allowing Him to direct our steps. We need to dependently and obediently, as we'll see, and not presumptively, trust the Lord. And that's in the context of everything bathed in prayer. Look at verse 15. And it came about before he had finished speaking. I love this. He is praying, and in the middle of his prayer, this happens. Before he finished speaking, that behold, Rebekah, who was born to Bethuel, the son of Milcah, the wife of Abraham's brother Nahor, came out with her jar on her shoulder. That's amazing. Before the prayer is done, this man who is walking with the Lord, he's not someone who's not walking with the Lord and all of a sudden has got a panic prayer and God's answering that. He's walking with the Lord. And it's amazing. Here she comes. He hasn't even finished his prayer yet. And she's coming out. You see, the Lord's ears are attentive to the prayer of the righteous. And that's not our own personal righteousness. That's righteousness because of Christ. When we're walking with Christ, trusting Him, His ears are attentive. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 12, quoting the Old Testament. For the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and His ears attend to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. And now we have some commentary. He's in the middle of his prayer, and here she comes. Verse 16, and the girl was very beautiful, a virgin, and no man had had relations with her. A couple things. She was very beautiful. Nothing wrong with beauty within itself, right? Very beautiful. But let me tell you, don't seek a wife based on looks alone. Yes, there needs to be some kind of attraction. I understand that. But your basis for the foundation of a marriage relationship needs to be Christ.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt, and today's message is from Greg's series in Genesis. You can hear today's message again by visiting us online at etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. Now, in addition to today's message, you'll find other Bible studies and audio series at our website. And as a part of the ministry of Equipping the Saints, all of our audio resources are provided at no cost to you. This is made possible by the Lord's faithful provision through listeners like you. For more information about this series in Genesis or the ministry of Equipping the Saints, visit us online at etsradio.org. Greg, in our opening segment, I mentioned that within this narrative of Abraham sending his servant to secure a bride for his son Isaac, there was a broader principle being revealed.
And you know, Dave, that principle is obedience. Humble, prayerful obedience to God in the context of His written word. You see, brothers and sisters, whether the issue is marriage, accepting a job, where to live, all those decisions in life where we don't have a specific word from the Lord, obedience without presumption is the way to proceed. Don't presume how God will lead you to your answer in these things. Just know that He will in His due time.
As we close today's broadcast, here's an important message from our teacher, Greg Lundstedt.
Hi, this is Greg Lundstedt, and it is my great privilege to study and teach the Word of God and to share it with you each day on this radio station. And as you listen, I want to ask you this question. Has equipping the saints been a blessing to you? If so, would you prayerfully consider coming alongside us financially? You see, your financial partnership with us is so appreciated. So on behalf of the team here at Equipping the Saints, we want to praise our Lord and thank you for your prayers and financial support.
Well, thanks, Greg. Now, to partner with us, call us toll-free 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. Or if you prefer to send a gift online, our web address is etsradio.org. Well, we hope you make plans to join us again right here for another edition of Equipping the Saints.